The Antidote welcomes Mia and Steve Rushing of Tribe Song. I got to thank you for coming and taking time for a talk.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
I want to take us way back into the past. I understand that the very first release from you, Mia, was a decade ago. It was the full length called Roar. But that one was released under the artist name Mia, which was spelled M-I, capital Y, then A-H. So why didn't you use your actual name, M-I-A?
Well, I study and teach Hebrew, and that is the Hebrew version of my name. And we have a lot of Hebrew roots followers of our music, and so they would understand that God's name is Yah, Y-A-H, and so I put his name in my name.
In Psalm 68:4, it says that his name is Yah, and so that's why when you say hallelujah, it's saying praise you to Yah. So that's why she uses the word Yah.
Now I understand. I read that Behind the Veil was your very first song, and it was released in 2011. Part of the lyrics say, there's a place that I go to seek your face, to feel your touch, to hear your voice, to heal my soul, and the world fades away when I go behind the veil. Maybe you should explain to us as to what the veil is.
Well, there's a veil between the Holy of Holies and the outer court. And so when we worship, we are to go behind the veil into the Holy of Holies to have a personal worship experience with him.
That release, Roar, musically is kind of different from Tribe Song. It was quite diverse, especially with the song Roar of the Lion of Judah.
Let me just say that it consists of 14 songs, and they were recorded over about a 4 or 5 year period. So there was different influences at that time, and so they were kind of put together as a CD at that time and kind of trying to show it a variety.
Right, and we were also told it couldn't be done, but we did it, and it was successful. It is an unusual, collection of songs, I would say. We have rock songs on there, and then we have pop songs with a beat to it. And so we were working with two different genres, basically, and two different musicians to help us bring the music together.
I'm really interested in hearing, how do you feel about this release now that it's been more than a decade ago?
It stood the test of time on many of the songs. We're still getting thousands of views a month from songs from that CD, and also people requesting to buy it even nowadays. So it's stood pretty well.
Right. With the new music that we put out recently, people are finding our old music and requesting those CDs, and also are playing them on digital networks. And so it's getting revived.
Yeah, actually, I was looking, and the songs on it have like over 2 million views from the last 10 years.
That's amazing, isn't it? Do most of those listeners find out about you on YouTube?
I believe so. I do. People do share the music in the congregations, and people make dances to our songs. And I would say a lot of word of mouth in the beginning, but now more so on YouTube, because we have people write to us and say, I never knew you existed. I'm just finding you. And it's through YouTube.
You know, something I've been wondering about is why you began using the band name Tribe Song. And Steve, I'm sort of wondering if maybe that's because you were feeling left out of the music of Mia.
No, there's the 12 tribes of Israel, and basically that's where the Tribe Song came from, the tribe songs for the tribes. I don't feel left out. As far as the lyrics go, we both, work on them together, and sometimes I'll work on one and she'll touch it up, or she'll work on one and I'll touch it up. So we work together on them. You know, she has a beautiful singing voice, and on the first CD was all her. And she's beautiful, and she also loves to dance. So she's, taught different people in many people Hebraic dances. She's had several dance teams that have performed in our own congregations and also in other churches and and even secular places. So I don't feel left out at all. We're a team.
Now, be honest, Steve. Are you like me? I have two left feet.
As far as those two left feet go, he doesn't dance with me much.
He's the dancer and the singer.
Mia, I have to say that you do have an incredible voice. And I mean, not only is it beautiful, but you can also give it a lot of power, like what's heard on the song Army of Yah. Is that a natural thing for you?
Well, when I sing, it is from the depths of my soul. And I love music where people sing from their soul. I don't really like formula music. I really want to feel something when I listen to someone's music. And the same with mine. I go to a deep place as soon as the mic comes on. I want to go into that Holy of Holies behind the veil and sing from maybe pain that's inside of me or just the joy that's inside of me from worshiping the Father and being blessed. So I thank you for that. I do try very hard to express emotion and power, if possible, in my songs.
Something else about using your voice powerfully is that so many female artists don't do that. You know, they come out with this sweet, soft, and cuddly style. Any thoughts as to why that happens with some female artists?
Well, I think sometimes in the music world, in the publishing, in the being controlled by the music industry, they tell a singer what to do. But as far as females go that are not controlled, maybe they don't want to go somewhere deep inside. Who knows really why they don't? But I like to hear more of that in a female artist.
You just spoke about the music industry. You aren't part of that. You're doing this independently.
That's correct.
We're just a mom and pop team.
What are the challenges doing it all yourself?
Well, we do have the freedom to work on whatever songs we feel that will touch people's hearts and bring them closer to the Father and His Son, or Messiah. So that part of it is nice, but obviously there's no marketing machine or anything like that. So pretty much everything we do has to be done by us. We do have support from relatives, and we get a lot of encouragement from the notes come in from people that some people have said that Mia's their favorite singer. And, you know, for years we've got those type of things coming in. So that's encouragement. And it's just one of those processes. We put it out there and you never know the reaction people will have. Like that you just mentioned the song Army of Yah, that came out less than 3 weeks ago. It's already has over 75,000 views on YouTube. So some of them catch on better than others, but you just put it out there and it's fun. And we hope that we're touching lives and touching people and turning them closer to the Father.
I just believe personally that if the Father wants it out there, He will send it to the people that need to hear it.
You know, something that you could jump into that you've never done before, Mia, you could get into doing melodic metal because so many of those bands have a phenomenal female singer and you would fit in perfectly.
I do like some of that music.
She's had a couple bands that have wanted her to possibly sing with them, but she's more of a studio singer right now.
You know, I was mentioning about music that's soft. Tribe Song does one that fits in that style. The song You Saw Me closes with, "Yes, as you took my place upon that tree, I know you looked down through history and you saw me." That is such an intimate look at Christ. Has that always been your relationship with Him?
Well, certainly that's been what we've always strived for, is to have that personal relationship. And that's part of why that song is there, is to try to emphasize that personal relationship and what He went through, the suffering He went for us. Kind of summed up in the bridge that says, "I know that I am the reason why you had to die." And so that's pretty much what we wanted to communicate. And I think that's where we try to have our walk.
But even when you've got a deep-rooted faith, aren't there sometimes challenges?
Definitely. I joke that our Father in Heaven can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. and we're all crooked sticks, and I certainly am one. There's always challenges in the marriage, and we've raised children, and there's always challenges in the children. So yes, there's highs and lows, but we've just been blessed, and we're so thankful for everything our Father and our Messiah have done for us.
Something I need to say about you two is that you might be one of the most prolific bands I've ever met. I did some hunting, and I found that Tribe Song has released 44 singles since last year. How in the world do you find the time?
Well, we're both retired.
Seriously.
We do spend many hours a week working on the music. We love to do it. We're very passionate about songwriting, and we love it when a song comes together. It's very exciting.
Now, I find most Christian artists are usually more into New Testament focus. And maybe it's just me, but I do find that Tribe Song often leans maybe a little bit more into the Old Testament. Like, certainly you hear that on Let My People Go. Telling the story of Moses has been done so many times. What inspired Tribe Song to tell it again?
Well, we homeschooled our children, and we had to read the Bible ourselves in order to teach them. And when we read the Bible, we learned a lot of things we didn't hear in church. And the Old Testament is the foundation of our faith. So we started meeting a lot of other homeschoolers that were doing the same thing. And now there are millions of us. And that's why I said we call ourselves Hebrew Roots, but we're really just truth seekers. We read the Bible and just do what it says. But the Christian church doesn't teach much about the feast, the biblical feast. And so we started keeping the biblical feast and with our children and other families. And we've been doing that for many years now. And it's such a blessing because each feast points to the Messiah. It is prophesying. The spring feast tell of his coming the first time, and the fall feast tell of his coming the second time. And so they're great teaching tools. And so we like to write songs for children. Actually, Let My People Go was a song for children. We're trying to reach out into the children's ministry now through music. And we just got a great version of Let My People Go that teenagers love. And that's the one that we sent over to you. We really like it. It has a great beat to it, and it's very catchy.
We should talk about the Hebraic roots. We're trying to work like that first century church before some of the traditions of men came in, and that we're non-denominational because, you know, there's like 4,000 Christian denominations. But we believe that when Messiah returns, there's only going to be one denomination, one king, and one kingdom. And we're trying to walk like that first century church as much as we can. All they had back then was the Old Testament, and the New Testament wasn't written until later. So that's why we have a basis in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament.
That's what makes Tribe Song uncommon. Yes, it's focused on God, but it really is more Hebraic than probably any other Christian artist that I've ever met. Does that serve a purpose in your music?
Well, Mia can answer that probably better than me, but for me, it's that we believe that we're in the end time and that we're striving to be that end time remnant of Revelation 12:17 and Revelation 14:12. And so that's why I think we bring in some of the Hebraic into the music, is because we want people to understand that this has all been prophesied for thousands of years, and it's coming to pass right now in our lifetimes. And it's very exciting. And we just want people to get concentrated on this time that we're living in.
And I think there's really no middle page between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That should be ripped out. It's all one book, all one story, and it all points to Messiah. He was there from the very beginning, and he's there then. He's the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end. And so there should be no middle page. So I don't really look at it as like we're putting Old Testament information into the songs, as it's the whole Bible. And again, everything, there's a story there of the bridegroom and the bride all the way through scripture. And I think that is a basis for a lot of our songs, is that the bridegroom gave his life for the bride, and he's coming back for the bride.
Well, now what you spoke about a moment ago comes up in the song, Wake Up the Final Generation. Black smoke is thickening, the stench is sickening. Armies are assembling, politicians are trembling. The horsemen are riding, the elite are in hiding. The dragon is fuming, Armageddon is looming. My opinion is that every day I think the world is becoming worse. But you do really feel that this is the end times, that we actually are the final generation?
Well, if we look around and see what's going on with the earthquakes and the, just recently there were 70 Christians that were beheaded in the Congo, and the fires in California, the flooding in Helene, the volcanic activity, the different things that have been going on around the world seem to be that the birth pangs are picking up. And I know mainstream media just says, oh, it's just climate change, or this is just the way things have always been. But we really believe that if you really step back and look at what's going on, it matches very closely to Matthew 24, when there will be wars and rumors of wars and the earthquakes in various places and the storms and the plagues and the pestilence. We've had AIDS and COVID-19 and the different things that have been going on, that it really does seem, if you really open your eyes and look at it, these are the end times. And I do believe we're probably in that last generation. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but certainly there are signs in the sky and on earth.
With the Hebraic part of it, and you're speaking about teaching Hebrew also, but now with your music and with it having such an emphasis on the Old Testament, do you think that besides Christians, that you're also drawing in Jewish listeners?
Well, that's a good question. I think they're probably a group of people that are called the Messianic Jews.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those probably do find the music, things that they can enjoy or relate to. People that are actually just Orthodox Jews or something, I don't really believe that very interested in anything dealing with Messiah.
Something I'm trying to figure out is, does Tribe Song have a form of marketing strategy? I mean, I guess the reason I ask that is just, I sort of wonder how you find an audience for your music.
Well, when we were homeschooling and people started reading their Bible, they started learning a lot of things that we didn't know about. And that group of people has turned into millions of, some people call them Messianic believers. Some people call them Hebrew roots believers. We just call ourselves truth seekers. We don't really want a label necessarily. And those are mainly our listeners, those people who are seeking the truth, that keep the biblical feast, keep the Ten Commandments, and they follow Messiah.
We've been working in this many years. There is a group of people that are interested in the Hebraic roots, Christianity teachings. So when we put a song out, that's all we can do is just put it out there. And then pretty much it goes by word of mouth. We don't really have an advertising budget or anything like that. Just for example, the last song, Army of Yah, we put it out with less than 3 weeks ago. It's already now well over 75,000 views. And that's all just organic. People sharing it. So people are liking it. They're understanding it. And they're sharing it with their friends and maybe other churches and congregations.
I do feel like more Christians are starting to listen to our music now, where it was before it was mainly Messianic or Hebrew roots believers listening. More Christians are starting to listen now.
And, you know, we consider ourselves Christians, but we just have that first century church accent.
Right. That's one way of putting it. It's obvious that the songs from Tribe Song are drawn or at least inspired by the Bible. But your lyrics often bring in a cool perspective. Like, I love the song Long Flight when it says, it's a long flight to heaven when you don't have wings, when baggage weighs you down, when you can't hear the angels sing. So have there been times where you haven't heard the angels?
Absolutely.
Yes. I got a little bit of an interesting side story on that. That was one of the first songs Mia wrote. And she actually worked with a band, basically, and got it recorded with a nice music behind it. But one day she just had a download, basically, of new lyrics to that same music. So she recorded the song with but using the money for Long Flight to Heaven, and the music of it called It's Everything. It's on that Roar album. And it's been very popular, well over 300,000 views on it. And but meanwhile, Long Flight to Heaven, the lyrics ended up in a box for the last 10 or 15 years. But now it's finally come out and come to life.
That's cool. You know something, I think you two and I need to talk about something that's serious and it's controversial. When you first contacted The Antidote, you mentioned that Tribe Song had two songs that were AI generated. One of those is Stand Prayer Warriors. It's a great song, but why go with AI?
Well, it's a new technology and it saved some of the time and the expense of hiring bands and recording time, because you can do some of that right in your own house.
It's actually very exciting because we had boxes of songs sitting around for years, and our son told us about the new technology, and we started playing around with it that week and bringing those songs to life, and it was so exciting for us. So we've been doing it ever since, and people seem to love the music, and we definitely love the music.
Well, you know what the big question is? Should there be limits to using AI?
And that's a good question. I think it's just like fire, you know, it can be used for good or bad. The technology is out there. AI, in some ways, is, if it's in the wrong hands, can be used for bad. But we feel that we're trying to use it for good, to reach people that may not be reached otherwise.
There's been just a couple of people who wrote to us about using AI for music. And this one person said, if there's no breath in the music, and I felt kind of down about it, but just really seconds after I was feeling down, I felt like something in my spirit said, but when others sing along with the music, there is breath. And we've received so many letters on this AI music of people loving it. And I mean, they can't get enough. They just said, I love this music.
Especially and so, the Prayer Warrior, you know, Stand.
Stand Prayer Warrior was really one of our first largest
AI
songs. It really kind of caught on fire. And so we were excited about it. You know, we couldn't have hired a band to make that music.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so timely with everything that was happening. The elections were happening at that time here in the U.S., and there was a lot of chaos here in our country. And it really felt like a desperate moment that we needed to come together and pray. So I really felt like that song was Holy Spirit inspired. And it really touched the hearts of a lot of people. And we needed that song at that moment in time to reach people to pray for our country. And I believe a lot of prayers were answered.
Yeah, that song, you know, there's many churches that we know of that have a prayer warrior teams that are praying constantly for their families and the church and the country and the world. And you know, we just really believe very strongly in intercessory prayer that, you know, the angels, a lot of times they're fighting the battles for us, but we give them the firepower that, you know, the prayers of the saints and the prayers of the believers, I think are very important in the battle that we're all engaged in.
Now, I don't want to harp on the AI aspect, but I do have to ask something else. Do you think there's ever a possibility that AI could make artists redundant?
I'm afraid that it is possible, but when I listen to really good artists, and I was listening to our old CD Roar today before this interview, and I was really moved deeply, especially, I love the guitar work from our old guitarist,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think AI can touch that. I really don't.
I agree. It can affect some things, but I don't think it'll ever make true musicians and artistry redundant.
We certainly hope that.
That's right.
Yes,
otherwise, we don't have Tribe Song.
Exactly.
One final song to talk about before I let you two go. Tell me the story about Ready to Ride. When you hear the title, you're thinking, oh, it's the theme song for a road trip movie. but that's far from the case.
We wanted to take a look. Part of what we do is try to take a little different angle or approach on things. And this is taking a look at, after the marriage supper of the Lamb, there's going to be, our Messiah is going to return with an army of the bride, the saints. And this is showing this coming back, the return of the Messiah with his saints, with his bride. And it's a little different viewpoint than most songs and most people think about, but it's taken directly from Revelation 19.
I think I've kept you guys way too long. Steve and Mia, thanks so much for this talk with The Antidote.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Dave, and good luck with your antidote. It's a wonderful program you have.
Well, thanks.